We're holding on your days on the days, three lines from the bottom. I'm just finishing up with the whole story with Miriam and Moshe over there. The Mishnah started out mentioning that Miriam got to Midah Keneg Midah, she waited for Moshe, therefore the whole Jewish people waited for her, and that brought us into the whole discussion of the Jewish people and the giants. So finishing off, getting back to Miriam, the pasuk says, "Vatikach Miriam Hanaviya Achoyt Aharon." It says that Miriam Hanaviya, the sister of Aharon, took a drum or a tambourine or whatever in her hand, and then led the women in singing the Shir of Aviyam. When you mean Achoyt Aharon, why Achoyt Moshe? Why is it called Achoyt Aharon? She was Moshe's sister as well. Amar of Amram, Amar Rav, the Amilo, Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav, Malamed Choyt and Misnabak. She Achoyt Aharon. It teaches us that she used to say that she was saying Nevuah when she was still Aaron's sister, before Moshe was even born. Which, by the way, means she was very young. She's only Aaron is 3 years older than Moshe, and Miriam is three years older than Aaron. So it comes out she was saying Nevuah when she was 5 years old. She was saying, my mother is destined to give birth to a son who will redeem the Jewish people, who will save the Jewish people. The kibbutz should know that Moshe, then when Moshe was born, we said before, the whole house was filled with light. So her father stood up and kissed her on her head. My daughter, your nevuah has been niskayim. The kibbutz should know that Moshe, when they saw the light, they realized that this is the one. The kibbin shenehistilul yor. But then, when they had to place Moshe in the basket in the river, Amar Avia b'tov charosha. Her father, the same, the pashas, the same person. We'll talk in a second. The possible gersos, but according to the gersos that we have over here, that her father, who then had believed in her nevuah, now all of a sudden doubted it. B'tov charosha, and he clapped her on the head. Well, Amarla biti hechen nevuah. My daughter knew where's your nevuah. You said this is going to be the one to save the Jewish people, and now it looks like he's going to end up drowning in the water over there. Marsha brings a different gear, so it's also brought here on the side, that it wasn't her father who did that, it was her mother. And Marsha says, the vote according to that may be, when Miriam said her nevuah, not necessarily did she tell it to both her parents. She had to tell it to Amram, because as we said before, Amram had divorced Yecheved, and she had to convince him to remarry her. She had no particular reason to tell it to him. Miriam had no particular reason to tell it to Yecheved, so she may not have. So therefore, her father, Amram, knew about it, and when he saw the baby was born and the whole house lit up, then he understood this must be the one, and therefore he kissed her on her head. Later on, now when Yecheved has to place Moshe in the Nile, and remember, she had no idea, according to Marsha is saying, she had no idea of this whole nevuah. So she's saying biti hechen nevuatech, meaning not where is your nevuah that you said before. She didn't know of it necessarily, but where is your power of nevuah? What's going to happen over here? Behind her, just given. This is why the pasuk says, "Vatetasav achosem erachos." His sister stood from far away. Ladea maya osilo to find out what's going to happen to him. Meaning later maya hey the soif nevuatech. Meaning besides that, she wanted to find out what's going to happen to Moshe. Also ladea maya osilo. What's going to be with her nevuah? With her nevuah, what's going to happen with it? So she, therefore, she's waiting there the 15 or 20 minutes until Vaspare showed up and everything developed from there. The Mishnah continued with another example of Midah Keneged Midah, that Yosef Zachav Gomer, that Yosef had the schos to be involved in burying Yaakov, and he was the greatest of his brothers. Therefore, he had the schos that Moshe was involved in bringing his body out of his bones out of Mitzrayim to bury the Eretz Yisrael. And then in turn, Moshe Rabbeinu had the same schos that the Eibishter was misasik with him. So now we're going to get a little bit into the story of Yosef's, of Yaakov's burial. Question is, Maishnam Ikra, let's start with, what's the difference when the pasuk first starts describing the entourage that went to bury Yaakov, it starts off, Vayal Yosef Likbaras Aviv, Yosef went up to bury his father, Vayalu Ite Kol Avde Parei, it says, all the servants, meaning the nobles of Parei, and the elders, etc., and then it finishes off, and then it continues with Yosef's brothers and the rest of the family. So the Mitzrayim are going first. So, okay, Yosef's going first, fine, he's a vice word. But then the Mitzrayim, and then the rest of the brothers. Well, Bahadur, and later on, when they're coming back, the whole base Yosef, Echol base Aviv, and then it mentions all the family of Yosef and his brothers and the rest of his father's family. That's at the beginning. Or Maishan all of a sudden. So then what's the difference? Later on, after they finish the burial, just give the pasuk says, Yosef Yosef Mitzrayim Uhuva Echol. It says, Yosef returned to Mitzrayim, he and his brothers, Bahadur, and only then, Bahola Odomitia Likbaras Aviv. Only then does it mention the rest of the entourage. So why is it first the Mitzrayim are mentioned ahead of the brothers, and now the brothers are mentioned ahead of the Mitzrayim? Yisrael, because originally, before they saw the honor of the Jewish people of the sons of Yaakov, they didn't treat them with such respect. Later on, when they saw the honor that was given to them at the funeral, not the presence of the brothers. We're going to see in a second, but the presence of various kings who came to pay their respects. Thank you. So originally they thought that Yosef's brothers, there's nothing special about them. Okay, Yosef's fine, he's the viceroy, but the rest of the brothers, nothing special about them. Later on, when they realized, well, so should all the kvodan. Later on, they saw the cover that was given to them. No other go ahead and cover to the material also started giving them cover.
When other people,
namely, what happened? The positive by Avayrad Goyen Ha'Otad. They came to the threshing floor of Otad. The simple meaning is threshing floor is exactly where it sounds like a place where you thresh grain. It's a big flat area, and Otad means thorn. Now, it was a very common thing that you would have around a threshing floor. You'd put a hedge of thorns so wild animals don't come in or whatever. It was sort of like they were put on the barbed wire, kind of, for protection. But the question is, the Gemara is assuming that Goyen Ha'Otad makes it sound like it's a threshing floor for thorns. So Goyen Yeshle Ha'Otad, who you don't thresh thorns. What does that mean? And Maharshal says it can't mean that, just it means a threshing floor surrounded by thorns. First of all, because there's no reason to name the threshing area after what's used as a hedge around it. The hedge is a lesser important thing. And second of all, if it's a common thing to do that, then all the threshing floors have hedges of thorns around them. There's no particular reason to name this one that. It means that they surrounded Yaakov's coffin with crown, to go to the Shemakifim Lai Otto, just like a threshing area is surrounded with thorns. So what happened? Shabob, B'nai Esav, B'nai Yishmael, B'nai Keturah. The sons of Esav and Yishmael and Keturah, all of them came to join in the thing as well. Tana, so learning a thorn. Well, wait. No, they came in with their crowns. There were different crowned heads, different kings and princes and whatnot from these nations. Tana, we learn in a break, they call them Mosomovo. All of them originally came to fight. Kivin Shiro, Kisra, Shah Yosef, Tolib, Arena, Shah Yaakov. But then when they saw Yosef's crown hanging on Yaakov's coffin, not Lukulam Kisre, and then all of them took off their crown, were Tolim, Arena, Shah Yaakov, and they also hung them on Yaakov's coffin. So one idea is some Mephoshim talk about what do we mean when they originally came to war. Maharshal says that the Gemara is going to discuss soon how Esav tried to prevent the burial. So therefore, they all came to be on his side. Then when they saw the cover that's being given to Yaakov, then most of them gave up and said, you know what, we'll join in the procession and then we'll humble ourselves and hang up our crowns here.
They were kings.
That's what we're talking about.
They weren't getting a pari. This is me.
What do you mean?
I mean, he's
himself wasn't there.
Yeah, but it's Yosef's son. I'm not asking you. It's Yaakov. He's the father of the second king of Yosef.
Okay, but still,
if there was something, power would definitely go after them. Yosef will ask requests.
Okay, but still, okay, so far away or whatever. But why should he be?
Chances are there.
Yeah.
Chances are that they were upset at Yosef that he drained them financially.
That could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Tana, we learn in a place, a shloshim mishishik sorem nitlobara and Yaakov. 36 crowns were hung on Yaakov's coffin. How do you get 36? So Rashi makes the calculation that if you take the kings, the nations that are mentioned over there that descended the family, the major family branches that it says there that descended from Esav that are mentioned at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, as well as Aluf this, Aluf that, etc., as well as the 12 ones from Yishmael that I mentioned at the end of last week's Parsha, then you get 35 plus Yosef's crown is 36. Tosfos Shantz argues with that, among others, because many of the Alufim that it talks about over there by Esav, Rashi himself says on Chumash that those Alufim only came into existence, some of them, after they were kings. First they had Alufim, then they developed a kingship, and after there were eight kings, the famous eight kings of Edom that I mentioned all over the place in the Siddurs, that represent Shvirus HaKevim, etc., after the last of those kings died, then they started over again with Alufim. So not all of those 23 Yavuchim that Rashi is listing existed at the time of Yaakov's funeral. So therefore, Tosfos calculates it differently. He says you also have to include B'nai Keturah. The Gemara doesn't mention B'nai Keturah after all. Rashi seems to be leaving them out. If you take the six children of Keturah that I mentioned also in Parshas Chayesara, plus some of them instead had children and grandchildren, etc., who formed nations of their own, plus you count the original descendants of Esau, plus you count the original 12, the original 12 sons of Ishmael, then again you come up to 35, and then Yosef is the 36th. Deeper ideas behind it, why that is 36th, there's various ideas that are mentioned in Mephoshim. One interesting one is that there's 36 Averis for which a person is Chayef Koris. So Koris represents where a person is completely Rechmal Tan cut off from Eidoshim. Yaakov, of course, was the opposite of that. He's totally connected with the Eidoshim. Therefore, instead of 36 times Koris, you have 36 times Keter. Keter and Koris have the same letters, and therefore you have 36 crowns hanging on his coffin. The positive thing is, it says there they made there a very great and heavy hesped, a very great and heavy mourning. Tana, we learn in a nice even the horses, even the donkeys. So what does that mean? How do horses and donkeys mourn? Different possibilities. Marshall talks about that in his time, apparently the custom in Europe was when a king or a prince or whatever died, besides that his subjects would be mourning for him, they would also dress the horses in black and in black sackcloth or whatever. So that's one possibility that it means that even they are mourning. Other Mephoshim talk about the idea that maybe Dafka, the Mitzrayim and the whole entourage over there didn't feed the animals that day. So that way the animals are neighing and whatever out of hunger. But it's also, it's included, it's going also towards the mourning. And then there are Mephoshim we talk about. We know the famous thing that the famine in Mitzrayim stopped when Yaakov came down after 2 years of famine. Then when Yaakov passed away, it started up again. So even the horses and the donkeys feel it. And even they, there's less food for them than there used to be. Rabbi Yaakov Emden also talks about that since when it describes the entourage, it says they had the lashon over there was also that they had they had a very large entourage, including animals. So therefore, we make a zera shava kind of between that and the god of a covered ma'or. That means the animals were involved also. When they reached the Maris Machpelah, also Esav come active. So Esav came to object, to prevent it. Amalaman, he says to them, look, this is called Mamre Kiryas Arba Hi Chevron. It's called Mamre, the city of four, which is Chevron. But Amre Bitzcha Kiryas Arba, why is it called Kiryas Arba? This is not Esav saying this, obviously. This is more paraphrasing, explaining the details of their argument. It's called Kiryas Arba because Arba Zuruzayu, because there's four pairs of, there's four couples that are buried there. Adam Bechava, Abraham Besara, Yitzchak Verifta, and Yaakov Alea. Now, at this point, when Yaakov is ready to be buried, he's going to be the eighth one. That fills up the cave. There's only eight spaces there. So Adam and Chava, Abraham, Sarah, Yitzchak, and Rivka, and now Leah is already buried there, because Leah passed away while Yaakov was still alive. So now, you cover the Leah of the day, so Esav argues, fine, we split it. Yaakov has his share, I have mine. He used his share to bury Leah, so now I have my share. He shouldn't be buried in the other one. I should be buried there eventually. One interesting thing, we know the famous thing that originally Esav was destined to marry Leah, but she cried so hard, Davin and Yaakov wound up marrying her. So Esav basically is arguing, look, I couldn't have her in life, at least let me be buried next to her.
Question I
have
for you, because we saw the other day that
she doesn't see Master. Yeah, Leah is an example, actually, of how you can change that, how tremendous thrill you can change that. But yeah. So, the high depayish didihu. So the one that's left over is for me. Amrulay, so the brothers said to him, Zvinta, you sold it. Amalahu, so you sold your Bechira. Amalahu, he says, and he's a Zvini Bechirusa, fine, I sold my Chelek Bechira. Pshitusa mi Zvini, I didn't sell my Chelek as a regular son. Meaning, in other words, okay, I don't get double the amount that Yaakov does. I still get an equal amount with him. Amrulay, yeah? Ain't. So they said, in this case, yes, you did actually sell your share in the Maris Machpelah altogether. Just give, as it says in the pasuk.
Yes, in other words, you're right.
In other words, yes. You may have, as far as everything else, as far as the rest of the Yerusha from Yitzchak, fine. You only sold your Bechorah, not your Chelek Pashuk. But when it comes to Maris Machpelah, you sold all your rights there. Just give, because the pasuk says, Yaakov says that I want you to bury me b'kivri asher korisili, in my grave which korisili. Simple meaning of korisi is that I dug. But that, there's no particular need to mention that. We don't find that Yaakov ever dug it. And kira, a lashon mechira. The word kira means sale. She came to Krachayayom, Karim Mechira Kira, because in the city near their sea, they call their word for selling is Kira. So therefore, Asher Karisili means that I bought for myself. And the Gemara mentions elsewhere, or the Medrash mentions, whatever, that Yaakov took all the money that he had earned during his time at Lavan's, etc., and he made one big gigantic heap of it and offered that to Esav instead in return for any claims on the cave. So therefore, now, okay, you sold it.
But by implication, if you hadn't sold it, then where would Yosef be buried?
Not Yosef, Yaakov. I mean, Yaakov. Okay, so Yaakov would be buried someplace else, just like Rachel was buried someplace else, whatever. Amalahu, so Yosef said to them, Hovali Igarta, show me the document. Amalahu, Igarta Ba'arda Mitzrayim. The document, the bill of sale, was in Mitzrayim. Uman Nezel, so okay, we got who's going to go get it? Nezel Naphtali to Kolokia Yalta. Let Naphtali go. He runs as fast as your namesake. He runs as fast as a deer. Naphtali Ayala Shlochan is in a shocker. As it says in the passage, Naphtali is a deer sent fast who gives beautiful words, but Amar Abba, I'll take you, Ime Shefer Ela Ime Sefer. Not beautiful words, but words of a book, of a document. Meaning that he's the one who was sent to get this document that'll prove the right. Meanwhile, while Naphtali is off getting it, Chushim Grey the Don Tamanhava, Chushim the son of Don was there, he's the only son of Don actually, the Akirim like Udne, and his ears were heavy, he was deaf. Amalahu Maihai, so he sees there was an argument, he sees that there's a delay, he doesn't know what's going on, but he asks them what's going on. Well, Amalahu Maakim, hi, Adolf Naphtali Ma'arad of Mitzrayim, so they tell him, Esav is holding up the thing until Naphtali gets back from Mitzrayim with the bill of sale. Amalahu, so Chushim says, Adolf Naphtali Ma'arad of Mitzrayim, Yehavah Mutabu Bizayim. So what, until Naphtali gets back, should my grandfather be laying here in disgrace, not buried? Shaka Kufa, he took a club, Machia Reshe, and they banged Esav over the head. Natran Ene, his eyes fell out, but not from Akar of Yaakov, and they fell on Yaakov's feet. Paschinu, the eyes of Yaakov, of Esav. Paschinu, Yaakov, Ene, the Achis. Yaakov opened up his eyes and laughed. Behind him, what? They smiled, laughed, whatever, yeah.
Oh, when they asked Yaakov to smile?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. The Heiner Dechtiv, this is like it says in the Pasuk, until him, Yismach Tzadik Yichodem Nakam, the Tzadik is happy when he sees revenge. Pa'amav Yirchatz B'damah Rasha, he washes his feet in the blood of the Rasha. And actually, Marshal points out, it's not just that one Pasuk, the entire capital can be understood as talking about Esav. Zohar Rishoyim Merochem, the Rishoyim are estranged even from the womb, like the Rashi says in today's Chumash, that every time Rivka would pass by a Esav and his Zohar, Esav is trying to get out, etc. And the whole capital, he explains how there's many references to Esav in it. But there's a Musar Dikavart, by the way, that they say. So why? I mean, so none of the other brothers have occurred to them that Yaakov is lying there in disgrace. They're just taking it calmly, and only Chushim takes the club. The vart is, they say, because the other brothers, given that they got into the argument already with Esav, so okay, you know, fine. They're saying we got to go get the document. But at that point, it's like a little cooled off by them. It's not the immediate thing. Whereas Chushim, who doesn't know what happened over here, for him it's just Aviyaba is multiple bizayin, whack.
He was whacking Esav,
I mean, that's the role. The pastor, he did, but that's that if this is Esav, that he's going to be interfering, then yes, then Esav is going to get whacked. But the point is, as opposed to the other brothers, who like already it was, you know, okay, it's sort of a normal thing at this point, you know, okay, you know, so not used to it, but whatever, it's, you know, they got into an argument, and therefore, like, they, you know, there was nothing at the moment, like, to motivate them all of a sudden, you know, like, hey, something's got to be done.
Giving them gusts.
There's another verse actually that one of the Persian men, Yaakov, says. When you get down to it, I mean, Esav. So they told Esav that you sold the your share in the Maros Machpelah. What would Esav have answered? I mean, no, Esav was a sly guy. He would have mistakenly said, "What me? I would never sell such a thing. It's precious, more precious to me than anything in the world." So it's sort of, you know, even though they know that's not true, they're sending Naphtali to get the bill of sale, but still, you know. Like it had a certain little bit of impact on them. Whereas Chushim, who didn't know of any of that,
He could have come with 600 horsemen.
One other thing, Tosfos Shanz points out is there's a Yerushalmi that says that actually that actually Yehuda is the one who killed Choshen. So what are we saying over here that not Choshen, but Yehuda is the one who killed Esau? So what are we saying that Choshen did? So the answer that Mefarshim give is Choshen stunned him with the blow, but didn't actually kill him, and Yehuda finished the job.
Yeah. I'm sure had to worry about.
Yeah. Well, actually
Yehuda was there.
He was present. The Sefer Yosha, I think it is also said, the famous Zvart, that Asaph's head went to Maris Machbol and Maris Machbeyla, and it's buried over there. The famous Zoya says, Reshid, the eighth of the Itfrey de Yaakov, the Yitzchak, the head of Asaph is in the embrace of Yitzchak, and the rest of his body is sunk, took, and then carried back to Harasayer and buried there.
It's interesting because the nature of Yehuda was not to wait until something happened.
But in this case, we're saying,
you know, after this period, we figured he's getting a little old,
Okay, anyway. Alright. At that time, Rivka's nevuah came true. She had said many years earlier, Loma Eshkal Gam Shnechem Yemechad, why should I lose both of you on the same day? Even though they didn't have to die on one day, but Esav now, this is 70-odd days after Yaakov passed away, because 70 days it took them to embalm him, and then 7 days or whatever. So that sometime later, Kvuros and Miyabi Yemechad Avoy, but they were buried on the same day. That's a certain fulfillment of the Nevuah. Which the Trimus Hadeshik, by the way, says, you see from this Gemara then, that the day of a Kvura can be considered to a certain extent, like the Yom HaMitzvah, as far as certain Dinim of Avelus, as far as fasting on a yard site, and other such Dinim.
We don't go by it.
There is such a concept. For example, I think when we talk about when the 11 months for Kaddish end, I think there is an opinion that it goes according to the day of the burial rather than the day of the death. Okay. Okay, the Gemara asks to be, Osik Bey Yosef, so what's going on over here? If Yosef hadn't gotten involved, would the brothers have just left him alone? But the pasuk says, "I used to Yosef bonim out of Canaan." The pasuk says that all the brothers carried him to the land of Canaan. So in other words, the point of the question is that the Mishnah is saying that Yosef was involved, and therefore we have this host that Moshe took care of his remains many years later. But it wasn't only Yosef, and in fact the pasuk uses the expression "Vayoshev Yosef acharei kovrei esaviv," that Yosef returned after he buried his father, as if his brothers weren't involved. What do you mean they were involved? It says that the sons carried him to Eretz Canaan. Omru, what it is they said, Hanichuloi, let Yosef take the main part of it, let him have the glory and whatever, let it be called after his name. It's more of a covenant for our father that he's taken care of by a king, by royalty, by viceroy, rather than just by commoners like us. So yes, they were all. They certainly are Yosef. In other words, that they're saying all of us obviously are involved. We're all carrying Yaakov's coffin, etc. But still, it makes sense that Yosef is like the leader. It's all called by his name, and we're just like secondary. Mishnah continued, "Mi lamed gadol mi Yosef." There's nobody greater than Yosef. That Moshe Rabbeinu himself was involved in bringing up his body from Mitzrayim, and then Moshe Rabbeinu himself was eventually buried by Hashem. So now we're going to get into a little bit about the details of how Moshe took Yosef's coffin. Turn it up on. Boy would become a chavidus mitzvah on Moshe Rabbeinu. Come look how precious mitzvahs were to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekoy Yisrael Kul Nesasim Abiza. The rest of the Jewish people are occupied with getting the spoils of Mitzrayim, going and borrowing from their neighbors, Klei Kesef, Klei Zav, etc. Well, Nesasim Abiza, he was involved in doing mitzvahs. Shenema Chacham Leiv Yitach Mitzvahs. As the pasuk says, a person of a wise heart takes mitzvahs. The mitzvah of getting Yosef out of Mitzrayim and burying him.
Of Moshe.
Moshe was, yeah. That everybody else is busy getting wealth, and Moshe is busy with that mitzvah.
Maybe
she told him to do it. So it was to a certain extent.
Maybe she told anyone else to get the wealth.
I'm talking about that, but still, it was Dabur Nov Ozneyam. It wasn't phrased as an actual mitzvah. It was phrased as a request so that Avraham Avinu doesn't complain, yeah.
What's the exact meaning of this? At the time of the burial, they were busy with their
businesses? Not at the burial. This is 200 years after Yosef passed away, when they're getting ready to leave Mitzrayim. Everybody else is busy getting the wealth from Mitzrayim.
Moshe
remembered that Yosef had made them promise before he passed away that you're going to take, when Hashem remembers you and brings you out of Mitzrayim, you're going to take me with you. So Moshe is the one to deal with it, yeah. Okay, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know where Yosef is buried? Omru, so they said, Serach Bas Osher Nishayim Ma'ers Adur. Serach Bas Osher was still living from that original generation that went down to Mitzrayim. Holach Moshe Etzla, so Moshe went to her. Amr Loi has to pull out your dad taking Yosef over. Do you know where by any chance where Yosef is buried? Amr Loi, Oren Shamat Chazosolim Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrayim made it for him a coffin made out of metal, because of all the Nilus Anahar, and they sank it into the river Nile. Kadeshi's Baruch Meimov, in order that the water of it should be blessed, and it should rise up and fertilize the land. Which also, by the way, they had in the intention that the Jewish people aren't going to be able to get it out of there. Halach Moshe v'Amr. Tosfos, by the way, asked the question. Tzerach isn't the only person who survived from that generation. The Gemara and Baba Basra mentions there's a couple of others. Tosfos' answer is that Tzerach was the one to whom Yaakov entrusted the sea, and Yosef entrusted the secret of the Geula, that when someone, that with the one who comes and says, Pocket Pakati, is the one who will take you out of Mitzrayim. So therefore Moshe had to go to her, and once he's there, he asked her, where, by the way, where's Joseph's coffin? Holach Moshe v'Amanot Fas Nilus. So Moshe goes and stands by the bank of the Nilus. Amalo, Yosef, Higia Eish Shinishka HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shani Goyal Eschem. The time has come that the Eberstein has promised that I'm redeeming you from Mitzrayim. V'Higia Shavur Shishbaik Eish Yisrael. And the time for the Shavur that you made the Jewish people promise that we're going to take you out of Mitzrayim has come. Imat Amara Asmachal Mutzav, if you show yourself then good, we'll be able to fulfill the promise. Imlav Arena Menukin Mishwaska. And if not, then we're cleansed of your Shavur, meaning it'll be an onus, basically. We can't fulfill it. Miyad Sof Arena Shor Yosef. So immediately Yosef's coffin floated to the surface. Baal Titma Hech Barzal Sof. Don't be surprised how iron is able to float. Shadik Sim, because you have a cluster, you have a story in Nach. One of the Rishon Talmidim was cutting down a beam with his axe. There's a barzel nafal on my Megomer, and the iron axe head fell into the water. And the Talmud cries out to the Navi, to Elisha, Aha Adoni, Oive, my master, who shall, it's borrowed, I can't afford to repay it. Yeah. The axe head. By Yom Ishalakim on a Nothal, the Ishalakim, Elisha says, where did it fall? By Yareya Samakim, he showed him the place in the water. By Yitzhak Eitz, Elisha chopped off a little piece of wood. By Yashlach Shama and threw it into the water. By Yitzhak Abarazol, the axe head floated up. So, followed for him, Kavachoymer. He's the next Kavachoymer. Uma Elisha Tamid of Shelaviyahu. Madach Elisha is only a Talmud of Elisha, of Eliyahu. Eliyahu Talmud of Moshe, and Eliyahu is a Talmud of Moshe. Either Rashi says doesn't necessarily mean a direct. Not a direct Talmud. Eliyahu was many generations after Moshe. But in other words, he learned Torah from his Rebbe, who learned it ultimately from Moshe Rabbeinu. Or other Mepharshim point out the famous thing, Pinchas Eliyahu. So in that case, then Eliyahu, under the original name of Pinchas, Taka, originally learned Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu. Be that as it may, Elisha is at least two levels away from Moshe Rabbeinu. And soft bows him upon him, and yet iron floated because Elisha needed it to. How much more so for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu himself? How much more so for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu himself? Rav Nosson says there was a different thing. It wasn't Moshe's coffin was not in the Nilus, but rather the Kabbarnet Shemalachim Hayakover. Rather, Yosef's coffin was buried. The Kabbarnet is. Rashi says the kibra is shemalachim in the tomb of the king. The aruch that says on the side here means that also the beit kvar is shemalachim in the cemetery of the king. So he's buried among the kings over there. So you can see all the coffins over there, but how do you sort of know which one is which? Holach Moshe v'Amad Kabbarnet Shemalachim. So Moshe came and stood by the and stood in front of this crypt, in front of this burial place of all the kings. Amar Yosef, Higia Eitz Shenishba Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shani Goyal Eschem. Yosef, the time has come that the Eberstein has promised I'm going to redeem you. Higia Shvur Sheishbaite Yisrael, and time has come for the Shvur that you made the Jewish people swear. Imatam Arat Mochamutiv, if you show yourself good, v'imlav Arayim Menukim Meshuvalcha, and if not, then we're free of your. They repeated the same thing from before, from the new. But at that time, Yosef's coffin started shaking. They recognized it was nothing in the Nile. This is the second explanation, that it was in the cemetery.
In the cemetery.
So the coffin is visible. You just don't know which one is which. And there are 100 coffins over there. So it started moving, and he was able to recognize it. Not from Moshe Rabbeinu yet, but Moshe was able to take it and then bring it along.
Even if it's in the cemetery, it's very, very.
No, was that because, no, not necessarily. Not
Mesolithic.
In a mausoleum, yeah, or like in the pyramids or whatever. The whole oath and shot and show his job of it, but throughout all the time for the next 40 years when the Jewish people were in the desert, so these two coffins, one from the mess of Yosef and the one of the Shechina, the Oren, that had the Luchos, were going one next to the other. So passers by who saw the Jewish people traveling through the desert would ask what's going on with these two boxes you're carrying. Amru, and they would tell them, Echad shal mes, Echad shal shchina. One is holding a mess, and the other one is for the shchina. The people would ask, Echad shal mes, Echad shal shchina. Is it normal that you bring along a mess together with the shchina? Amru, and the Jewish people would tell them, Kiyem zeh, kol mashakos of the zeh. This one, whose remains, whose body is in this coffin, kept everything that it says in this one. Meaning the whole Torah. Rashi mentions specifically, Rashi quotes from Chilta, that we find explicit examples by Yosef where he kept every one of the Aseret HaDibros. Every one of the Aseret HaDibros, you can find an appropriate pasuk that shows that Yosef kept it. For example, the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Yosef says when his brothers are nervous after Yaakov passes away at the end of Parashat Vayechi, they're nervous that he's going to take revenge on them. He tells them, "Atachas alekimani, am I instead of the Edishter?" Implying there's only one Edishter, not me, and I'm not it. So we see that he believes in Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Same thing, you can go through all the other nine, and plus also Rashi mentions other mitzvahs that we know he kept, like Sisna Sachachabavacha, he didn't hate his brothers, like Sikha, like Titzer, Vachayachisha Imach. He kept the whole Torah, so therefore he deserves to be carried together with the Torah. You want to ask the same question as we had before about Yosef and his brothers, you can ask us now the same question about Moshe taking care of Yosef. So you're telling me then that if Moshe wasn't involved with him, then the rest of the Jewish people wouldn't? Meaning, in other words, again, the same question as before. How could they leave if that only Moshe is going to be involved? They all know the Shua. They all know that Yosef made them all promise to take him out. But and not only that, but it says in the pasuk that Atmos Yosef Asher Helu Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim Kavu B'Shchem. It says the bones of Yosef, which Bnei Yisrael took out of Mitzrayim, they buried in Shchem, implying that the Jewish people collectively were involved. But true, and not only that, you have to ask Eloi after Bnei Yisrael. Fine, let's say you're going to argue that the rest of the Jewish people maybe weren't involved. But how is it that his sons specifically didn't get involved? And we know they did, obviously, by Yehud of Yosef and Nachla. The pasuk continues that Yosef was buried in Shechem, and that place became for Beis Yosef, for Bnei Yosef, for the descendants of Yosef, for Nachla as an inheritance. That it became a major thing in their Nachla, which is the famous cave of Yosef that exists until today, except that the Arabs keep on burning it down. But yeah. So basically the same question as before. How is it that first they left only Moshe to do it? Okay, so before they were busy with business Mitzrayim, the Gemara said before. But Marashah says the point of the question is throughout 40 years in the desert, it never occurred to anybody else to take him off, to take Yosef off Moshe's hands, or at least his sons should have. And we know they did. We know that it was precious to them. And we know that, so Amru, because they said, Hanicholoi, leave him where he is. Quoted by Merubim Yosef Mabuat. And the Shevet Yosef figured it's more honorable that Yosef, or our ancestor, is taken care of by the Jewish people collectively rather than just by the one Shevet. But to Amru, and then they said, Hanicholoi, quoted by Merubim Yosef Mabuatanim. His covered is more that he should be taken care of by the great one, by Moshe Rabbeinu, rather than the lesser people, us. So therefore, as long as Moshe was taking care of him, then fine, let Moshe continue taking care of him. It's more of a covered for Yosef. After Moshe passed away, okay, he can't anymore. So then they took over. Then the pasuk says, "Kavur b'Shchem." Going back to the pasuk that we just started quoting about that they took Yosef and buried him in Shchem. Why if it's in Shemayishna of Shchem? Why specifically there? Shchem is in Yosef's territory. Fine, because many cities in Yosef's territory. Why not in Shchem? They stole him originally, they kidnapped him originally from Shechem. And therefore, to Shechem is where the lost object should be returned. Which Rashi points out, by the way. Now, if you look in the Pesukim, what do you find? You find that originally Yaakov sent Yosef to check on the brothers in Shechem, but he comes to Shechem, he can't find them, he's wandering around over there, and then Malkavir, came and told them not to be there. They traveled away from here, they went to Dothan. And he goes and finds them in Dothan. So on the face of it, they're in Dothan, not in Shechem. So Rashi says Dothan is not actually the name of a place. Dothan is short for Nichle. Rashi brings it on the pasuk in Chumash also that Dothan stands for Nichle Dothes, plots of legal plots. Like they're trying to come up with plots to kill you. And therefore, in other words, the point is it was all in Shechem. Maybe they weren't in the, originally you looked for them in the city of Shechem itself, and then they're like right outside the city, or other Mepharshim say maybe Dothan is a little village near Shechem, whatever it is. So basically, the whole thing took place in or right near Shechem. The Gemara asks, Koshul Kroyadori, on the face of it, you have a contradiction in the Pesukim. Ksiv Vayikach Moshe is Atmos Yosef. You know, it says that Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. Uchtiv, but you also have, at the end of Yoshua, the passage that we just quoted, where it's Atmos Yosef, Asher Elu B'nai Yisrael B'Gomer. That B'nai Yisrael brought him up out of its tribe and they buried him in Shechem. So who is it? Moshe or B'nai Yisrael? Amrav Chomer Brev Chanin, Kola Oysa Dov of Oleg Gomer. If somebody does a mitzvah and does not finish it up, Uvo Achav Gomer, and somebody else comes and finishes it up, Mala Allah Kosov Asher Gomer Ki Lassoi. The passage considers the one who finished it as if he did the whole thing. Okay, yeah, not, yeah, you could. But, okay. But you already have a liver for that. You, Bapashas, you don't need this also. Especially if we're talking about a mitzvah. Bapashas, we would want to credit Moshe with it, you know, but the answer is that Moshe can't get the full credit because he didn't complete the mitzvah. Okay, it was bonus. He couldn't complete it, but still, the B'nai Yisrael finished it, so therefore it's called after their name. Also, if a person starts a mitzvah and doesn't see it all the way through, then he gets removed from his high position. Again, not obviously in Moshe's case. That was an onus. We're talking about an ordinary case where you're able to and you don't. What does it say after Yosef was sold? At that time, Yehuda went down. What happened, in other words, so Reuben had told them to throw him in the pit, and he plans to come back to him. Afterwards, Yehuda suggested to them sell him. Yehuda was trying to convince them not to kill him. Instead, let's sell him. But Yehuda would have been capable of not only doing that, he would have been capable of convincing him, leave him alone, let him go back home safely. So he started the mitzvah, but he didn't complete it.
And he threatened them and he could have prevented them.
Whatever it is, yeah. So he didn't finish the mitzvah, okay. And therefore, Vayera Yehuda, he went down. Like he was demoted from his high position.
Wait a minute, there's a difference between giving the schools to the one who completes the mitzvah, as opposed to
so we're saying two different things. First of all, the credit goes to the one who finishes it, regardless whether the first person didn't finish it by choice or not, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Second of all, the one who didn't finish it, who is degraded, yeah. Reb Shmuel ben Nachmeni Amar, Af Kovu Ishtu Bonav. Also, such a person may end up, Rachman Al-San, burying his wife and children. That's what happened to Yehuda. His children died, two of his children died, and his wife died.
That was because
he didn't finish the mitzvah that he started. Amar of Yehuda Amar, Neman Nikra Yosef at Tzomos B'chayev. Why is Yosef called bones while he's still alive? Namely, he tells his brothers right before he passes away at the end of Chumash Bereishis, he tells them, "Behalisim asat Moisai mizeh, take up my bones from here." So why, when he's still alive, is he being called bones? Mitnei shalom micha b'kavod avu, because he was not moicha in for the covet of his father. Namely, his brothers were telling him, "Your servant, our father." He didn't tell them anything. He didn't tell them. Now, okay, he's still undercover there. He's still pretending they don't know he's Yosef yet. So he can't go and tell them, "Don't say that. That's my father." But he could have told them, "You know what? It's not Derech Eretz. He's your father. You don't have to call them. You know, you don't have to call them my. You don't have to call them my Eben." The fact that he didn't do that, also contributed. This is Yosef we're talking about, not Yehuda.
So
this is Yosef we're talking about. Yosef, why was Yosef called bones? Why is Yosef called bones, which is a derogatory term, while he's still alive? Because he should have protested about the honor of his father when his brothers come down to Mitzrayim the two times, and each time in their speeches they're calling Abdechal Vinu, etc. Five times they called him.
But his father promised less so.
Yeah. So the Medrash also says that Yosef lost 10 years of his life because of that. Because 10 times he heard them say Abdechal Vinu, 5 in the original Hebrew.
He
should have stopped them. The first time they said, he should have stopped them and said, "You know what? I don't know this guy you're talking about, but he's your father. You don't have to call him. You don't have to call him your servant. Yeah. You don't have to call him my servant. Yeah." In fact, he heard it 10 times. He heard it 5 times in the original Lashon Kodesh, and 5 times when the translator, Menashe, translated it into Egyptian. So they had to translate, because remember, Yosef has to pretend like he's not their brother, so he doesn't know Hebrew, so there has to be a translator there. So 5 times he heard it in the original.
If he had said, "You know what, don't talk about your father this way."
No, they wouldn't have necessarily. They had no reason to think it was Yosef.
I'm sure he didn't appreciate when they said that.
He may not have appreciated, but whatever, he should have spoken up, and he didn't. So, yeah. So therefore, the Barashah points out the connection, why Dafka does not make him call bones. The Gemara mentions in Nida the different parts of a person that come from his father, from his mother, and from the Eivishter. In particular, the bones come from the father. What that means in modern medicine, I don't know, but whatever, that's what the Gemara says. On a rosniestical level, at any rate. So therefore, he didn't protest about the covenant of his father, therefore he's called bones. That's the connection.
The opposite. Since he didn't respect his father, he should not be called bones.
No, but that's like all there is left of him is bones, sort of. Like
but that's from his father.
Yeah, but that's the point. You know, that he should have been more careful about the covenant of his father. Yeah. Why did Yosef die before all his brothers? Because he was a leader. He acted in a leadership position, and leadership tends to shorten a person's life. Actually, one of the Mefarshim says an interesting thing. Specifically, this is talking about when Yaakov finally came down to Mitzrayim. So it says that Yosef Yosef harnessed his chariot, went out to meet him with a whole, you know, with all the ceremony of state. And Yaakov saw him from afar, thought that it's Pare, and bowed down to him. Which, okay, it was Mekayim, the part of the dream over there, when it says that Yaakov is going to bow down to Yosef, that the sun, moon, and stars bow down to him. But still, in a way, Yosef should not have done that. That the thing got him a bit of bonus, but he made him say he acted, he should have come in a more humble way, and that way Yaakov doesn't feel the need to bow to him. And that's it. Okay.
But you would think that's
why he died before his brother.
And that's why he died before his brother.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, but put it in context. The brothers have tried to kill him.
That's not the point. The point still is, you know, Tzaddik is judged.
That's just precedence over the fact that...
No, but what does one have to do with that? Okay.
Do you think Halacha, can you cast a respect to father's
person? Yeah. What do you think? Yeah. Actually, you know what, though? There's an interesting thing that says that after Maharam Rutenberg became a great Rosh Hashiva, his father, Reb Baruch, stopped visiting him. Why? Because Maharam would have to get up for his father. And on the other hand, the father, Reb Baruch, didn't want that his son, the great Rosh Hashiva, is going to have to give him covered in front of everybody. So therefore, he didn't visit him anymore. I don't know what his father was. His father was a Talmud Chacham, I guess, but not the great. Okay. Going back to now, when Yosef originally came down to Mitzrayim, but Yosef Hurad Mitzrayim, it says Yosef was brought down to Mitzrayim. Amar Rav Elazar, I'll teach you Hurad El Horid. Not he was brought down, but he brought down. Shahurid Ifagnini Pare B'Gdolosan. He brought the astrologers of Pare down from their greatness. When it came, Pare's dream, years later, and none of them knew how to interpret it, and only Yosef did, so that caused them all to be demoted, because they don't know nothing. Then the passage continues, Vayikneu Potiphar Swiss Pare, that Potiphar, the servant of Pare, bought him. What does it mean he bought him? Amarav Shaknoi La'atma. It means he bought him for his own purposes, not just to be a slave, but for Mishkav Zohar. What happened? Bogavriel, the Sioux said Bogavriel appeared. Gavriel came and castrated him. So that he's not able, Sirius and Pira. So Rashi is not Gurdus over here, the Bogavriel, the Sioux say only the Bogavriel appeared. Because on the face of it, they mean the same thing. Marshall talks about, there may be two different kinds of Sirius, whatever it is. Like not only, you know, he made him completely emasculated. Like, so he has not only no ability to have children anymore, but no ability to even have relations anymore, and therefore no possibility of him doing anything
that's
to you.
That's the whole reason why
it's okay. That's one thing. Meik, why? How do we see that? Meik looks at Potiphar, or the like Potiphera. Later on in the Torah, when Yosef now is his daughter, or his stepdaughter, whatever it is, he's called Potiphera. Pera, Meloshin Bogavriel Piro, that Gabriel came and uncovered and castrated him, emasculated him, yeah. Okay, then the Mishnah continued, Milonu Godu Moshe, that who's greater than Moshe, that the Abish to himself was the Sasek, was burying him. So, starting off with, When the pasuk says Vayomer Hashem Eli Rav Loch, that Moshe is telling over in Parshas in Chumash Devarim to the Jewish people how he's pleading to go to Eretz Yisrael, and Eibusha tells him Rav Loch, enough for you, great for you. Amar Rav Levi, Rav Bisser, Rav Bisruhu. He used the word Rav Loch against others to tell them, Rav Bisruhu, and he was rejected. His own plea was also rejected with Rav. Rav Bisser, he said Rav Loch. Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to the argument of Korach and his group, Moshe tells them, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, enough for you. You already have enough. What are you looking for more? Therefore, Rav Yisroel Rav Loch, therefore the Eishkol uses the same expression on him, Rav Loch. What's the vote? There's many different explanations of it. One of them is, among them are, that yes, he had to tell off Korach and his group, but he still should have said it a little more respectfully, to say, Rav Loch, that's enough for you guys, that you guys aren't great enough to be on a higher level. It's a little bit, on Moshe's level, it's a little bit of a not nice thing to tell them, and therefore they should pay him back in coin. Another idea is that, after all, okay, the Korach and his group are all, it's a very negative thing they're trying to do, but there's a positive thing behind it. Bedeva talks about it in Asicha, there's others who talk about also the idea that, after all, you know, to want to go up a level in Kedusha is a great thing. Okay, they're going about it the wrong way. But still, Moshe shouldn't be telling them, Rav Loch, like, you know, you guys have enough Kedusha already, don't be looking for a higher level. So therefore, the Eibusha tells them, you know what, in that case, then you know, it's the same for you. You already have enough, you also don't need to be on the higher level.
What do you mean they wanted to go a little higher?
They will be, and they wanted to be training.
So, it's
against the word of Hashem, fine, but it's wrong for them to try to do that. It's not wrong for them to want it, though. But Moshe telling them off, Rav Loch, like, you guys have enough Kedusha, but what do you need more Kedusha for? So they're still showing him at the end of his life, you know what, if that's the way you think, that you know, then you know what, you also, you've accomplished enough and you don't need the extra Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael.
Really, what they wanted is that they thought he wasn't supposed.
There were a lot of different factions among them. But yeah, that's the famous thing. It's Korach v'chol Hadassa. It's not just Korach and his group against Moshe. It's within Korach's group itself. There were many different factions and ideas. Dover Acher, another explanation. What does Rav Loch mean? Rav means Rav Yeshloch. Means you have a Rebbe. Umanu Yehoshua. Namely, you have Yehoshua. So in other words, it's Yehoshua's time to take over. Therefore you have to pass away because your Malchus is over. It's time for his Malchus to begin. Dover Acher, Rav Loch means when Eibusha tells him enough, stop asking me. I don't want people to say Rav Kamakosha, the master, meaning the Eibusha. Look how harsh he is. The Talmud Kamasarvan, and look how importunate the Talmud is. That Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading over and over again. It looks bad in people's eyes, basically.
Pleading for what?
That he's pleading to go into Eretz Yisrael. But in other words, and Eibusha keeps on having to turn him down. Like eventually, people are going to say, look how mean the Eibusha is being. How nagging the Talmud is going to be, and therefore enough, stop asking. So why is the Eibishter being so harsh with Moshe? A famous expression, according to the camel, is the load, meaning the stronger a camel is, the more the load it can carry. The greater the tzaddik, the more he's expected to bear, and the more the Eibishter is didactic with him. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people, "I'm 120 years old today." The positive doesn't have to say "hayom." Means "hayom molu yomai ushnoite." Today, exactly, my days and my years, I'm complete. I'm exactly 120 years old. Well, lamdecha. From this we learn. From this teaches you. Shacharish brachu mashnim shneisem. Shall tzaddikim yom liyom v'machodesh l'chodesh. That the Eibusha filled up the years of tzaddikim from day to day and from month to month. I mean, that they, on the face of it means that they passed away on the same day they were born, which happened to Moshe Rabbeinu in Chabadska history. We have a mitzvah, whatever one talks about in a sikha, that by all tzaddikim you have this kind of thing on a ruchniistic level. You have the exceptional tzaddik, like Moshe Rabbeinu, or like the mitzvah, whatever, where you actually see it come down in our world in Gashmius as well. The positive says, that's by Yom HaMalai. I will fill up the number of your days to make it like a round number. Okay. Moshe continues, I can no longer go out and come in. My lotus v'lovei, what do you mean I can't go out and come in? Ilein lotus v'lovei mamash, do you mean literally that he's too weak to go out and? Well, it says, Moshe was 120 years old when he passed away. His freshness has not gone away. His freshness, strength. So he's still just as strong as he was when he was younger. So he can go out and in. And also it says, "Vayal Moshe me'Arvus Moav l'Harnavoy." It says Moshe went up from Arvus Moav to Harnavoy. Now we know they were in Arvus Moav already. The pasuk does not have to mention that. Therefore, Amar Shmuel Nachmani, Amar V'Tanya, we learn it right. The Shtein Etzri Ma'alas Hayusham. There were 12 levels over there to go from Arvus Moav in the valley to the top of Harnavoy. There were 12 levels that you had to go up. Well, Pas and Moshe, Psiachas, and Moshe walked it all in one step. So he was still very strong. From what Achmeni, I'm Rabbi Yonasan, he meant lotis v'lover b'divrei Torah. He meant I can no longer go out and come in divrei Torah. This teaches us that the gates of Chochma were closed for him. And actually, Shari, on the side of it here, it brings a gear there, but actually also brings it in Chumash Mayonis of Chochma, the fountain, the wellsprings of Chochma. And what's the verb? What's the verb? The Chumash says it doesn't mean that Moshe forgot his learning in Chas Shalom. That only happened through Shoyim before they died. It means Moshe still had everything that he had before. But he no longer had the ability to give it over. It's like a spring where the entrance of the spring has been stopped up. The water is still there, but you can't get to it. So Moshe, the ability for him, Lotzis beloved, to go out and come in and teach the people has been taken away from him.
Practically, what
he's asking. Practically, that's what it meant. Saying, no, it meant that I no longer have the ability to teach the people Torah. Actually, some of the Farshim say that Moshe now went up to such a high level, like he's too far above the people now to be able to get down to their level and be able to teach them anymore. Then earlier the Pasuk says, Vayelech Moshe v'Yeshua v'Yitzyatu v'Oil Moed, Moshe and Yeshua. Okay, so different gear size, whatever. The point still remains the same thing. It's like, it's still there, but it's locked behind the gates where everybody else can't get to it. In Siddur, it talks about the idea that Moshe, the Gemara talks about in Rosh Hashanah, that Moshe reached 49 levels for 49 Shari Chachma when he was alive. The 50th wasn't given to him because it's only for the Ebershtet. But in Siddur, it says, why the name of the mountain he passed around is how Nevoi is Nun Boi, there's 50 in him. That when he, before he passed away, he reached that 50th level. But that 50th level was so beyond us that it wasn't something that he could transmit to everybody else. Vayelech Moshe v'Yeshua v'Yitzyatu v'Oil Moed. It says Moshe and Yeshua went and stood in Oil Moed. Tana, we learn in the place, Oisa Shabbos shall Zuzuvi Hoisa. That Shabbos was a Shabbos of two of a pair. Which Rashi says, in other words, that the nitlo rishus mizevin nitlo mazeh, that rishus was the permission to teach the people, was taken from one and given to authority, was taken from one and given to the other. And it was the beginning of that Shabbos is Moshe, and the end is Yeshua. Or Rashi on Chumash says it actually means both of them together, that Moshe set up Yeshua as the leader and gave him a maturgam on and everything while Moshe was alive, so that people realize that Yeshua has the authority and yeah. Continue tomorrow, that's the